Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for northeast Kansas and southeast Nebraska. For today's sunny skies, isolated showers and thunderstorms, upper 80s. Winds will be from the southeast between 5 and 10. Tonight, clear, upper 60s. Winds will be from the southeast at around 5 miles an hour. For tomorrow, sunny skies, lower 90s. Winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. Tomorrow night, clear skies, around 70. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, mid-90s. Right now, it's 68.
Kansas Mid-America Network News, good Monday. The Jackson County Sheriff's Office reports that a 13-year-old boy died and five others were injured in a UTV crash early yesterday morning in rural Jackson County. Our news partners at KTV report Jackson County Sheriff Tim Morse said the incident happened shortly after 2 o'clock yesterday morning. Two UTVs traveling side by side, one of them with six occupants, which ran off the roadway, flipped over, and ejected a 13-year-old boy. Authorities say the boy was pronounced deceased at the scene. Four others were transported to Stormont Vale Medical Center in Topeka and one to the hospital in Sabetha. Authorities in Junction City have confirmed the identity of a woman who was found dead in an empty storage unit. Police positively identified the body as that of 52-year-old Tina Bennett of Junction City. Her remains were found on June 26th in an empty storage unit. No arrests in the case have been made. The cause of death is undetermined, but police say foul play is suspected. Mid-America Network News.
On August 4th, Kansans will have the opportunity to vote for a proven leader in the race for the U.S. Senate. For 4 years, Dr. Roger Marshall has represented one of the largest agricultural districts in the nation, leading the way on farm policy during the last Farm Bill. Dr. Marshall is a trusted conservative who served his country, built his own business, and knows rural Kansas. Dr. Marshall's success at home and in Washington is built on his ability to listen and solve problems in a constructive manner. This style of leadership has earned Roger Marshall the endorsements of the Kansas Farm Bureau, the Kansas Livestock Association, Renew Kansas, the Kansas Agribusiness Council, and the National Sorghum Producers. On August 4th, vote Roger Marshall for U.S. Senate.
Paid for by the Kansas Ag Communities Coalition, 6031 Southwest 37th Street, Topeka, Kansas, 66614, which is responsible for the content of this message, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Authorities say three people were killed, two others injured in three separate shootings in the Kansas City metropolitan area over the holiday weekend. The first shooting happening in Kansas City, Missouri around 11:45 Saturday night. Police there were called to the report of a shooting and found an unresponsive man on the sidewalk. He died at the scene. Two other men went to a hospital with gunshot wounds. Police believe they were injured in the same shooting. Kansas City, Kansas police say two men died in separate shootings early yesterday morning. The Sunflower State reported another big increase in new coronavirus cases that capped its worst two-week spike since the pandemic began. The state health department released its latest figures Friday as a statewide mask mandate from the governor took effect. The Department of Health and Environment reported Kansas had 15,919 confirmed cases. That was up 929 or 6.2% since Wednesday. The death toll also climbed by 5 in the two-day period. Mid-America Network News.
Whether you've got the family van, your partner's work truck, your teen's car, or the classic convertible you only take for a spin when the weather is nice, insuring them all takes strategic planning. Blue Valley Insurance makes it easy with our multi-vehicle discount and our good student discount. You'll save time with less paperwork and save money with our multi-car discount. See Blue Valley Insurance in Lynn, Greenleaf, Hanover, and Marysville, and let us steer you into more savings.
Nebraska Mid-America Network News, good Monday. The state of Nebraska reported 167 new coronavirus cases yesterday to give the state 19,827 total cases since the outbreak began. The Nebraska State Department of Health and Human Services said yesterday the number of deaths linked to coronavirus in the state remained at 284. State officials say 43% of Nebraska's hospital beds, 53% of intensive care beds, and 81% of ventilators in the state remained available as of yesterday. A 41-year-old man died after he was wounded by gunfire while driving in North Omaha early yesterday. Police say they found the man inside of a car that crashed shortly before 2 o'clock yesterday morning. Police say Abdu Walker died at the scene of the crash. Police later located another man with gunshot wounds who said he had been in the car with Walker and fled after the crash. Rick Averett, Nebraska Mid-America Network News.
As we welcome our patients and visitors back into the clinics and hospitals, Community Healthcare System wants to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you to the communities for your support. Thank you for staying home this spring to protect the health of everyone in Northeast Kansas. And thank you for generous donations of gowns, masks, meals, treats, and encouragement. Please know that the Community Healthcare System appreciates you, and we are taking every precaution to maintain the highest level of safety for our patients and associates. Community Healthcare System, enriching the health and lives of the people that we serve.
Reporting local news, I'm Bruce Dierking. Citing enforceability and potential liability challenges, Marshall County Commissioners in special meeting Friday morning unanimously adopted a resolution exempting mandate, but strongly recommending wearing a face mask in public. The response to an executive order issued earlier last week from the governor, County Health Officer John Ryan said that while the mandate was good health-wise, he did concur that considering the downside of liability, one has to weigh the risks. Considerable focus was on business impact, and while Ryan recommended that employers recommend use of masks for employees, it should perhaps be up to the business whether or not they require customers to comply. He noted that commissioners have the flexibility to modify the order. County Health Nurse Sue Rhodes said that the easiest prevention measure is masks. She highlighted social distancing challenges as schools make plans to reopen, adding sports and kids' habits among concerns. Her comment was that a mandate could be challenging in reopening schools and the impact on the local economy. Rhodes urged commissioners to get on the same page with the same message. Multiple county agencies had heard calls for clarification from residents. The county attorney, sheriff, and county councilor all agreed that enforcement could become an issue as the matter is considered a civil case. Tim Ackerman indicated that his officers could not be called to enforce or investigate individual complaints, and attorneys agreed that filing cases was not a realistic use of time and resources. Noting that Marshall County has experienced just two positive cases thus far, and that the public has been diligent in being cautious, commissioners adopted the resolution, effective immediately, that the governor's executive order on masks not apply, and that no business, municipality, or organization shall be required, but are strongly encouraged to adopt appropriate protection measures for the safety of the public. Noting disagreements that have already been reported, it was further consensus that people should be mutually respectful and considerate of others. Washington and Nemaha County commissioners had met Thursday last week and also voted to opt out of the mandate, also citing strong recommendations for use of masks for public safety. Marshall County commissioners at their meeting last Monday passed a resolution to participate in distribution of approximately $1.9 million in round one distribution of the federal dollars for the coronavirus relief fund. A task committee has been established to assist commissioners on how to best distribute the money. Committee will consist of Sammy Jackson, Bill Swinneman Jr., Leslie Jeter, Jamie Ellenbecker, Ray Lisher, and Derek Heinen in order to begin the process of safely, strategically, and proactively providing communities the resources they need to mitigate the spread of COVID-19 and invest in long-term economic recovery. Partnership for Growth met with the board to update the grant. They received four applications for assistance. Deadline to submit applications for business assistance is July 10th. The deadline may need to be extended. Ellen Barber will keep the board updated on progress. Special Counsel James Neal with NextEra Energy reported he'll meet back with the board in 2 weeks, July 13th, from 1 until 3, and plans to be available for about an hour after his scheduled time. He'll be in the courthouse and answer patron questions. The board authorized the county treasurer to transfer just over $3 million from the county general into the newly established Capital Improvements Fund, and $282,000 from County General to the newly established Risk Management Fund. Washington County will receive over $1 million in federal funding for coronavirus relief. The money to be used for COVID-19-related expenses, such as payroll reimbursement, future safety projects, and local business funding for those who did not receive PPP loans. Commissioners will oversee distribution. Cities and schools are eligible. Nemaha County Commissioners met last Monday Nancy Gafford with the Rural Development Association and Daryl Coleman with USD 115 were at a public hearing to consider renewal of the Nemahal County Neighborhood Revitalization Program. Coleman thought this was a valuable program for the county and taxing entities under the county. No other public comments were noted. Commissioner signed the declaration as presented. County attorney will prepare a draft of the resolution needed for the SPARK program to commissioners for review. Nemahal County is to receive over $2 million in funding. Counties have until August 15th to submit plans for spending the funds. Proceeds not spent by the end of December need to be returned. Three rounds of funding will be provided. Amounts are based on county population, number of COVID-19 cases, and county unemployment rates. Search efforts for a missing Beatrice man continued over the weekend in Otoe County, Nebraska, near Palmyra, where a possible cell phone signal may have been traced. Mark Swarthout, age 56, of Beatrice, has been missing since June 23rd. His vehicle is listed as a black 2012 Dodge Ram pickup, tag number 33589A. Anyone with information on his recent whereabouts is asked to contact authorities.
Dallas L. Stout, age 82, of Manhattan, passed away Wednesday. Funeral service Tuesday, 10 a.m. at the Prospect Hill Cemetery, Blue Rapids. Visitation Monday, noon until 8. Family will greet friends Monday from 6 until 8 at the Terry Christie Funeral Home in Waterville, in charge of arrangements for Dallas Stout.
On the Marshall County Senior Citizens Lunch menu today, baked fish, baby bakers, broccoli, and cranberry sauce. Tomorrow, beef tips with mushroom gravy, mashed potato, Scandinavian blend, pineapple, and cake. KNDY News, time is 7:16.
We are all working through this difficult time together. We want you to know Blue Valley Technologies is here for you. Whether you are serving on the front lines, transitioning your business to a new norm, or studying and working from home, we are working very hard to keep our communities connected during this pandemic. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay connected. From all your friends at Blue Valley Technologies.
Here's your KNDY weatherology forecast for Northeast Kansas and Southeast Nebraska. We still have this upper-level ridge across the Midwest bringing warm temperatures out there. We'll continue to see temperatures in the upper 80s and into the 90s as we head through the week. Just maybe some spotty storms this afternoon, but it looks like dry weather Tuesday into Wednesday before another frontal system will bring us chances of showers and thunderstorms as we head towards the end of the week and into the weekend. So looking at the forecast for this Monday, sunny, isolated storms this afternoon, upper 80s around 90. Tonight, clear, upper 60s. Winds will be from the southeast between 5 and 10. For tomorrow, sunny skies, lower 90s. Winds will be from the south between 5 and 10. Tomorrow night, clear skies around 70. For Wednesday, we'll have mostly sunny skies, temperatures in the mid-90s. Wednesday night, scattered showers and thunderstorms, lows at 70 degrees. That's your forecast from the Weatherology Weather Center. I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford.
Average high temperature early July, 90. Recent record high, 101 in 1991. The average low 67 and the record low 56 set in 2006. Sunset this evening 8:57, sunrise in the morning at 6:05. Sunshine and 70 this hour, winds are light. That's check of the morning news and weather for this Monday, the 6th of July. KNDY News Time 7:18. I'm Bruce Dierking reporting.
Kids, why are you inside watching TV?
We don't want to go outside.
Because the mosquitoes will bite us.
Mosquito Squad took care of all the mosquitoes, remember? I haven't seen any wasps, ants, or earwigs either. You'll be fine as long as you stay in the yard.
We don't want to stay in the yard.
Oh, good grief.
Call Brad and John Eichelberger with Mosquito Squad of Marysville and Manhattan. They offer a variety of options, including their 21-day satisfaction guaranteed barrier treatment. Call Mosquito Squad at 785-877-8486. And remember,
the only good mosquito is a dead one.
A UFC switcheroo and NFL owners selling their stakes. Hello, this is Rich Cantu on Sports. UFC 251's main event got a replacement in the form of Jorge Masvidal. He replaced Gilbert Burns in the welterweight fight against Kamaru Usman. Both men exchanged words back in January.
So I hear you talking. Do something.
The fight is set for July 11th. PGA. Bryson DeChambeau took a three-stroke victory at the Rocket Mortgage Classic.
And hit a decent wedge shot in there, and I knew I had to make that putt. I knew if I was to make that putt, go birdie, birdie, birdie coming in, it'd be really difficult to beat me. And that's what I just tried to do, and I made a 30-footer, and that just spurred me on for the rest of the day.
He's the first golfer since 2004 to lead a tournament in driving distance. The Milwaukee Bucks became the latest team to shut down their facility over a positive coronavirus test. Any player who tests positive must be quarantined and test negative twice before attending the restart July 30th in Orlando. A trio of minority owners holding a 40% stake in the Washington, D.C. NFL franchise are looking to sell. Curious timing for the move as the team appears to be on the verge of changing its nickname after renewed scrutiny. The baseball season is set to begin July 23rd, and players have begun reporting to summer camp. Los Angeles Dodgers third baseman Justin Turner is all in on the artificial fan noise.
I enjoyed it. It gave me a little bit of adrenaline just having that noise, that random cheers.
The 60-game season will be without fans. Yankees pitcher Masahiro Tanaka was struck by a line drive on Saturday, but his skipper Aaron Boone says he's doing better.
He had concussion-like symptoms originally before leaving for the hospital that have since dissipated. He went through a battery of tests at the hospital. Everything checked out well.
The NHL has finalized protocols for its season restart in Edmonton and Toronto. This is Rich Cantu, ABC.
Marysville American Legion Post 163 Senior Legion baseball team split a pair with Riley on Friday, losing the opener 6-0 and winning nightcap 8-2. Marysville Legion Post will host Sabetha games at 6 and 8 Tuesday at Feldhausen Field in Marysville.
For all your gas and service needs, it's OK Service Station in Hanover. You'll get fast, friendly, dependable service every time you visit. They have fuel available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Ask how you can get a gas card for 24-hour fueling at OK Service. They also handle tires, tire repair, exhaust work, and oil changes, too. Stop by, say hi to the folks at OK Service in Hanover.
From AgView.net, I'm Ken Rogers with Ag News. EPA Administrator Andrew Wheeler talked about the 52 gap year small refiner exemption petitions awaiting the agency. The 52 applications cover the years 2011 through 2018. There are 27 more SRE applications for 2019 and one for 2020. While the applications are in the hands of the Department of Energy for review, the 52 applications were sent in earlier this year by refiners after a Court of Appeals ruling earlier this year in the 10th Circuit. Report says the biofuels industry and supportive lawmakers are in the middle of a public relations campaign to encourage the EPA to reject all of the applications. Some of the petitions that go as far back as 2012 have a renewable identification number for that year which have expired. Wheeler says that means there are several potential problems with those petitions. He says there are questions about whether they can show economic harm and what remedy that would be. He said, first, we're waiting to see what the Department of Energy has to say about those small refiner exemptions. A modernized North American trade pact officially took effect last week, providing some continuity for manufacturers and agriculture. The U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, though, facing multiple disputes that need to be resolved, exposing cracks in what was supposed to be a stronger North American fortress of competitiveness. The deal takes effect with all three countries mired in a COVID-inspired recession. April trade flow of goods between the countries, normally about $1.2 trillion every year, but the disease has cut trade to the lowest monthly level in 10 years. The Trump administration currently threatening to implement new tariffs on aluminum imports from Canada, and issues currently nagging USMCA also include hundreds of legal challenges to Mexico's new labor laws to ensure workers can freely organize and grant unions full collective bargaining rights. That's Ag News from AgView.net. I'm Ken Rogers.
Hello and good Monday morning. Sam's back with your latest ag news here on the Mid-America Ag Network, as well as your latest 2020 summer harvest update brought to you by Abilene Machine, Syngenta AgriProceed, U.S. Custom Harvesters, and Midwest Ford Dealers. Let's take a look around the state of Kansas. We checked in with a few harvesters as well as co-ops in a few counties, including Mike Jordan, who farms in the Beloit area in Mitchell County. Started harvest last week. Usually by now, Jordan is wrapping up, but due to the 3 to 7 inches of rain in the county, he was forced to push back harvest until the fields were able
the dry out. That caused many further farmers delay as well. We were looking at protein levels showing anywhere from 11.5 to 12.4%, which was below from last year. This year's crop is slow maturing. Most ideal time to harvest would have been right around July 4th. Yield ranging from 32 to 58 bushels per acre in the area. The varieties he chose this year are yielding very similar, with test weights ranging from 56 to 61 pounds per bushel. Mike McClellan of Plainville in the Rooks County started harvest back near the 1st of July. In a normal year, they start as early as June 20th, but again, high moisture levels kept them out of the fields. Protein levels around 10.5 to 13.5%. From the seed to the combine, McClellan reports average low yields. This has been a strange year for the part of the state he had mentioned due to weather, as they were forced with freezing weather, high temperatures, and moisture this year. Though he says his varieties this year are producing average yields. Jack Farber with Frontier Ag and Collier in Trigo County reports that they took in their first load on the end of June. Harvest was delayed by the rain. They've taken in about 400,000 bushels, and yields are low, anywhere from 30 to 65 bushels per acre. Proteins have ranged from a low 9% to the high to mid-15s. The area is about halfway done with harvest. They were a little bit delayed with the late last week fog as well as moisture. This entire crop year, he had mentioned, has been a challenge, as much of the wheat didn't emerge until late February in that region. This will be an average year much lower than last year's record-setting harvest. Tam's back with your latest 2020 summer harvest update here through the Mid-America Ag Network.
Our nation has faced unprecedented challenges due to the coronavirus pandemic, and the agriculture industry is no exception. This is Richard Fordyce, administrator for USDA's Farm Service Agency, reminding farmers and ranchers that FSA is now accepting applications for the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program, or CFAP. This program provides vital financial assistance to producers to offset impacts of COVID-19. Certain crops and livestock, along with wool and dairy, are eligible for CFAP. Our website, farmers.gov/CFAP, that's farmers.gov/CFAP, is your one-stop shop for eligible commodities, payment rates, eligibility criteria, and application forms. You'll also find a payment calculator that can assist you with completing your application. Applications for CFAP will be accepted through August 28th. And if you have questions about CFAP, customers can call the CFAP call center at 877-508-8364 or by simply contacting your local FSA county office.
It's time again for Farming America. I'm Steve Alexander with information about the world's most important industry, which is agriculture. Today we'll talk about the horticultural part of agriculture. Maple trees whose leaves are turning black? More about that after this.
Your best defense against breast cancer is a mammogram. I'm Dr. Sandy Goldberg, a breast cancer survivor and founder of a Silver Lining Foundation. And early detection saved my life. Are you uninsured? Are you underinsured? Are you a survivor and need follow-up testing? Feel like you have nowhere to turn? Times are tough, but getting a mammogram shouldn't be. Call us at 312-345-1322. A Silver Lining Foundation is here to help.
Catching up on some emails for Jim Fazell, our gardening guru, and a couple of weeks back, he talked about leaves on maple trees turning black in parts of the country that have had a cool, wet spring. Well, one of the emails contained a picture of these black leaves, and these people want to know, Jim, what's causing the black leaves, and what should we do about it?
Actually, it's very obvious when you see the picture. It's an anthracnose problem. Now, anthracnose is a fungus disease that affects a lot of trees, and it's affected sycamores very severely this year. In fact, if you look at sycamore trees, they have a few fully expanded leaves and a whole bunch of little nubbins up and down the stem that are dead leaves that tried to grow. It's a different organism for each tree, but maples get it. Sycamore trees, oak trees, the old ash trees were terrible with it. It causes black spots in leaves that are already out. These black spots are angular. That's why they call it anthracnose. I don't know what anthracnose really means. It may come from Greek or Latin or something. But anyway, it is a description of the shape of the leaf. This fungus is obligated to a very specific kind of weather. It has to have cool weather and lots of free moisture. Now, this past year, in fact, for the past 2 years, we've had springs where we had more rain than we wanted. Temperatures were lower than what we wanted. Perfect situation for anthracnose. Some trees are very susceptible to this. Maple trees, much less so. But the leaves are now falling off because they've been damaged. New leaves are growing, and as long as we have warm weather, and particularly warm, dry weather, we're not going to see the disease anymore. It's done. Now, the question always comes up, should I spray for this? Well, you could, but it's probably not worth the effort. In fact, you have to spray before the disease begins to infect, which means from the time the leaves start to come out in the spring, as long as you have cool, wet weather, you've got to keep the new leaves covered. Now, if you already have the disease, you can't protect them anymore. They already have it, so it doesn't do you any good to spray. So forget the spraying. It's not worth doing. It's not worth the money. It's not going to work anyway. Those trees are going to make a new flush of leaves. The leaves will be normal because I think we're going to have warm and fairly dry weather from now on out. Won't have to worry about it anymore. Just keep in mind, it'll happen again next year if we have a cool, wet spring. It doesn't do the tree any damage as long as it has enough energy to put out a new flush of leaves. So just ignore it and say that's just part of nature. We'll just live with it.
Okie doke. Jim Fizell, back after this.
Marysville Ready Mix is seeking a full-time truck driver. This job requires a Class B CDL and is full-time, available immediately. Benefits include holiday pay and vacation pay. Apply in person or call Marysville Ready Mix at 562-3418. Marysville Ready Mix, an equal opportunity employer.
Farming America is a presentation of the Nexstar Media Group. I'm Steve Alexander.
It's 7:30 from KNDY. Sunshine, 72 degrees this hour. Warm-up trend this week. Highs in the middle 80s today with sunshine. Could hit 90 tomorrow. Middle 90s by Wednesday. Beatrice 77 livestock sales closed today. They're on their summer schedule with sales every other Monday. They will have their regular cattle sale next Monday, July 13th, along with a hay sale. Again, closed every other Monday through July and August at Beatrice 77 livestock. Go online to Beatrice77.com for complete details and early consignment listings.
Kansas Mid-America Network Sports, good Monday. KU football has decided to suspend their voluntary workouts that due to an increase in the number of coronavirus cases within the program. Of 16 positive student athletes, KWCH-TV reports 12 of them have come from the football program. There was only one case in the program back on June 20th. The athletic department now requiring all football student athletes and staff to self-quarantine for 14 days. All other KU sports will continue their voluntary workouts. Four Atlanta Braves players have tested positive for coronavirus. Here's Carolyn Mano with the story.
We know that two of the Braves players that were mentioned today were asymptomatic and two were exhibiting symptoms. And first baseman Freddie Freeman was in that second group that's exhibiting a fever. He's said to be down for the count for the foreseeable future.
Premier reliever Will Smith, the other positive test. Mid-America Network Sports.
Marysville American Legion Post 163 Senior Legion baseball team split a pair with Riley on Friday, losing the opener 6-0 and winning nightcap 8-2. Marysville Legion Post will host Sabetha games at 6 and 8 Tuesday at Feldhausen Field in Marysville.
The heat of summer may not be fit for a dog, but that's not how dog days got their name. We will take a closer look on the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report.
No one plans to get sick or injured, but when life happens, it's important you and your family are protected. Kansas Farm Bureau health plans are there to provide continued health care coverage to meet your needs. Choose from a broad range of individual and family plans. And if you're over 65, we have options for you too. Learn more at kfbhealthplans.com or contact a Farm Bureau Financial Services agent near you.
You're a diabetic. You need supplies, but you don't want to visit the pharmacy. Call US Med for home delivery of your supplies. If you have diabetes and you're worried about going to a crowded pharmacy, pick up the phone in the safety and comfort of your home and let US Med deliver them to you with free shipping.
800-611-7121. 800-611-7121. That's 800-611-7121.
With more practical tips and useful advice, this is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report for Monday, July 6th, the 188th day of the year. Former President George W. Bush celebrates a birthday, and baseball's first All-Star game was played on this day in 1933. These are officially the dog days of summer, which occur between July 3rd and August 11th. But the name has nothing to do with man's best friend. Dog is a reference to the star Sirius, located in the constellation Canis Major, a mythological hunting dog belonging to Orion the Hunter. The dog star aligns with the sun in midsummer, July 23rd to be precise. And because ancient Romans presumed the conjunction of the sun and the bright star produced additional heat, 20 days on either side of the solar alignment became known forever as summer's dog days. That is the Old Farmer's Almanac Radio Report. Learn more at almanac.com.
KNDY.